Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 529 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is June 2nd, 2019. We are just a week out from E3 kicking off. And so we're here, like promised, every week, back for another podcast. We definitely will be covering some E3 topics today. We broadcast every week, Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. in Central Time Zones. So feel free to jump on, join live. That's always an option. twitch.tv/OC podcast, or do the same for mixer.com or youtube.com. And if you can't join us live, you are always welcome to download the audio-only version of the podcast, which will be out on iTunes, Stitcher, where, well, pretty much wherever you can find podcasts, we will be there. My name is Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC_Murphy's Law on Twitter. So follow me there if you want a lot of nonsense. That's what I'll give you. On the podcast today, we've got a wonderful addition to the podcast. Dare I say team? Maybe? I don't know. joining us again, Pete Chin. Pete, thank you so much for stepping in.
That's all right. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on, everyone.
That's okay. And slowly recruiting you.
And you can find me as at the Legit Chinny on pretty much everything if you wanted to get in touch.
We. Heard it here first, people. Pete Chin, he is your everything. I think there must be a movie made about this. Also on the show today, certainly not to be disparaged or put to the back seat, because nobody puts Kim Woods in the corner. Kim Woods on the podcast. Kim.
Hi. Yep, that's me. I'm GamerGirl27. That's also pretty much everywhere. So, yeah.
All right. Howdy. Howdy, howdy. And finally, a beaming sunshine of brightness and happiness and contentment, Mr. Robin Tate, spinning the decks for us.
Hey, it's Robin Tate here at Bongo the Sane in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. Great to be on the show again. Hi, everybody. My nipples feel rather tingly this evening.
Yes. But the excitement's here. Come on. E3 just around the corner. Going to get to that. I know we covered some predictions a few weeks back. Supposed to have covered some predictions last week, but we're going to do more today.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll chat about that later.
Yes, we will. We also are going to talk about birthdays, because who love a good birthday. Paul Barry Hicken is turning just 22 today. Paul, congratulations. Happy birthday to you. Also, Paul Taft Davies turning, I believe, 76 on Monday.
So holy moly.
To you, yes. Of course, with all of our birthday wishes, we also give you this.
Happy birthday to you. You were born in the zoo with a monkey and a donkey and a big fat kangaroo.
All right. And we also have a few new Podbean followers. Wanted to give a shout out to Twisted Basket, Flumai, and Adam.
Wait, what was that middle one?
Flumai.
Oh, okay.
Feel me? Fumi? Fumi?
Oh, my.
All right, let's go. Story time. Talk some stories.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Kim, I'm going to start you off first, because I think out of all of us, you're going to be the least controversial in this. because I have no references to violence against animals or individuals. So I believe that puts you top of the charts. So, Kim, what's been going on this past week for yourself?
Well, I just want to say that's this week. Next week, Hell, you never know. There's not much this week. It's finally sunny today, if you haven't probably noticed. There's no rain, which is good because everywhere around me is flooded. And I'm not talking stepping out and it's like ankle deep. We're talking like people evacuating out of their homes, like flooded. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not, thank God, because I live on a hill and it's going to have to be like the Ark days before I get flooded. But, you know.
Yeah, that's the words of advice to anybody. If you live in a floodplain zone, when you choose your house, choose the one on the hill.
Exactly. There you go. That'd be something. Oh, yeah, there was somebody posting some video of a place not far from me, and they were riding around in jet skis. So it's like...
Boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, thank God. It's not me. So
Were they just like kind of cruising, looking for people to help, or were they like flying around having fun? Because
they were taking a video of like the gas stations that were flooded and how bad it was and that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they were doing other things, but that didn't make it on the video. So,
right. Well, you know, because that's actually like not the best idea in the world because it's lying just beneath the surface of the water.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had a truck driver. He saw the barricades and knew it was flooded, and he drove around the barricades and ended up having to have somebody come out and get him because his truck tried to flip over. So, I mean, some people out there are crazy. They don't understand when it says, hey, flooded, stay out. You know, we're not kidding. So, that's
I could do it. That's just for the people that don't have a big truck like me.
Right? My dad looked, and he laughed at it. And, of course, he's been driving a semi for like 30-some years. And he's like, yep, I can tell you right now, that was rookie. His GPS told him where to go, and that's where he went, and he didn't care, and, well, there you are. So he probably didn't figure it was as flooded as it was, and
yeah.
Guess what?
People sometimes trust your eyes more than your GPS.
Exactly.
I still can't comprehend the extremes of weather you guys get over there. I mean, we have, like, 1 inch of rain, and the whole place comes to a standstill. So to experience that, it must be pretty frightening, actually.
Yeah, old, because the other night we, in like 2 hours time, we got 3 inches of rain. So, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm over this whole rain thing. Of course, now it's going to get summer and it's going to turn off and it's going to be dry and hot and everybody's going to bitch. Of course, I'll be happy, but everybody else is going to bitch. But what can you do?
Yeah, we're slated for 90 degree weather all next week. I'm not exactly happy about that.
Bring it on, I say. I'm ready for that.
I'm good with 70, 80. That's a nice, happy spot for me.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. But hot weather does not bother me. It never has. So, yet I live in Missouri where it gets to like 30 below zero. Now, that shit, I can't stand. So.
All right. Fair enough. Anything else you want to talk about?
Before I forget, of course, it's June. So, we have Mick and Stitch this month. So, I'm assuming Stitch is the cat, but you never know. I mean, it might be the dude. No idea.
I once dreamt that I was Lilo, and Stitch came along and stole my skirt. That would have made a good calendar pick.
I love the interest he gives.
Thank you for that, I think.
I the fact that, the kitten.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Anyway, that's it for me, so, carry on.
Carrying on. Pete, we'll go to you next.
Okay, well, this week for me, I've been to a garden center. We've been doing a spot of gardening this week.
Okay.
We all in yesterday's heat as well, which is hot for us, really. Especially me being, ginger? Handsome ginger. Yeah.
I'd like to go with fair skinned, you know.
I don't even portray that though, do I? Look how dark my skin is. But I was playing football yesterday and playing stuck in the mud with our young boy, and man, it was so hot.
Wait, no, let's back up. Okay.
Stuck in the mud.
Greg, stuck in the mud is a very English game that English people play. It's like when they all get naked and eat cucumber sandwiches while lying in a large puddle of mud. It's simple. It's self-explanatory. Stuck in the mud. Yeah? Naked English people with cucumber sandwiches in the mud.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay. Explain stuck in the mud, and then I'm going to likely explain to you what a dumb game that is. But let's go.
Okay. Right. Stuck in the mud. Normally, depending on the size of the group, you nominate who's it. And it's like a game of tag. You run around, whoever's it, right. Tag someone, and then they have to stop and put their arms out. So they're stuck in the mud. And then whoever's left free to run round can free the person who's stuck in the mud. They just need to run under their arms. But the aim of the game is for someone who's it to catch all of the people who aren't, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
No, that's not right. No, my uncle said when I was a teenager at his house, we had to roll around in the mud with the cucumber sandwiches while he had tea. And, oh.
No. Yeah, it's a shame. We were sweating too much for that.
I think to smear the queer. Childhood, yes. You heard that right. You just, for somebody, that was...
Okay.
Good. All right.
Okay. I think I need to reevaluate some of my life choices. Okay, moving on.
So as well as that, we had the Game of Thrones podcast as well earlier on in the week, which you were part of, Greg, and it was really good. I enjoyed that podcast. It was nice to have people on from different shows. And I think it turned out pretty well, actually. We got some good content. So if you want to catch that, you've not heard it already, just search for the Entertainers podcast and you'll be able to see it.
Yes, it has finished. And in fact, you actually can catch that also on our podcast. We put that podcast up
you did.
For you, yes.
Just thank you.
Giving some entertain nerds love. It's a little hard for me to say entertain nerds. I don't know why. I think it's just because Peachin needs to be on the OC podcast.
There is that.
I can spread the love and be on both.
Yeah. Look, I spread your brother thin for many years. I think I can do the same to you. As you will. Spread the thin.
Spread the chin.
Yeah, spread the chin. Anything else, Pete? Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. God.
And Robin, how are you?
I've had a fantastic week, Greg. Thank you very, very, very much. And Greg, so how was Rocket Man?
Fantastic, but not as good as Bohemian Rhapsody. I would give it a 7. Wait for it on DVD. Don't see it in the theater, at least not for full price.
That sounds like a good idea. I'll do that. Sounds brilliant. Maybe not as good as Bohemian Rhapsody, but yes, Elton John's really good. Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't part with my money towards this.
All right, Rocket Man. My quick take, not as good as Bohemian Rhapsody. And I think private... No, that actually has nothing to do with it. it really has to do with the fact that the style of film he chose to make. So Bohemian Rhapsody felt like a docudrama, that you were getting factual, like, things happening in their, the events in their life. They brought them to be where they, they hit their fame and Queen really, became bigger than, the biggest of rock bands out there. Rocket Man felt like it was a movie that was designed to be a Broadway play. Right. I mean, very flamboyant person, Elton John. If you don't know who we're talking about, Rocket Man is supposedly the story of his life. Now, granted, not the entire story of his life because there's still more to come. He's not passed on yet, so there's still more to his life. But I was hoping to get that Bohemian Rhapsody kind of vibe from it, that I was going to learn things that I didn't really know. And while there were a couple things I can say I learned about Elton John, the presentation of it, because it felt, it's very, very much a musical. It didn't have, I think, the weight and legitness that I was looking for. No, it was plenty gay. I think a lot of it felt like this was his interpretation of events. Well, so like Bohemian Rhapsody, when I saw that movie, I felt like it had a pretty objective view of the group and Freddie Mercury and a lot of what they went through. Certainly, you could tell there was input from the band members in terms of what had happened and how things, because you got some insight into things that, you know, you just hadn't heard about before. But this felt like this was very much all Elton John's interpretation of events in his life. Now, interestingly, because it's done in a musical fashion, and I don't know if this is coincidental or if this is legitimately how these songs played out, but a lot of his songs play out to parts of his life in this movie. And they do go into his, you know, very long time friendship with the songwriter, Bernie. I did not know, and this is kind of the one fact I did not know, is that Elton John did not write basically any of his music.
What a spoiler.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Didn't know that.
And Bernie basically toured with him pretty much all the time, which again, that's kind of unusual. Usually songwriters don't tour with the singers, but he was there for much of Elton John's career on tour. But anyway, I won't go into any more. Thank you. Anyway. Yeah, absolutely. Classic, Robin. This is classic musical.
Oh, boy.
So Rocket Man, I put it out there like a 7. I don't think it's worth seeing in the theater. Not on a full ticket price. Go catch it in a matinee. Wait for it on DVD. Be better served. Yes, Robin.
Oh no. But, hello, Fraser.
He can't hear you.
Okay.
Or Pete.
You know what's going to happen again?
Oh no.
Oh no.
What?
Oh, wait, now he says he can hear Robin.
Yeah.
So
can he hear any of us?
Yeah, he can hear you, but I'm going to fill in the blanks again.
That's probably, yeah. Well, hello, Fraser.
Hello, Fraser.
Probably a good time to give some shout-out to those people in the chat, Kim.
Alrighty. Well, of course, I've mentioned Fraser, who's in there, and Nerd Allegiance. And, well, me. So... Let me pull up the list, see if there's anybody not talking. But so far, that's the people that are commenting. Oh, Bad Apple, and Commander Root are also there. So, yeah.
All right, now I need to get in character for this next part because I need to give an update on the backyard and my continuing war.
Oh, dear. Oh, we're bringing up a hat.
Gopher time.
It's been tough. It's been hard.
I'm so hard right now.
The war continues on. All right, so here's the update. So we found out it is not gophers in the backyard. We are up against the Mole Congo.
Uh-oh.
Mole Congo, I'm calling them. Yeah, yeah. Freaking moles all over. They embed themselves. They dig their little tunnels. They breed lots. So we have been carpet bombing the backyard. Oh, my God. Every day of the week, I've been double checking. I've been finding holes. I've been dropping smoke. I've bought 3 packages of gas so far.
Is there no easier way to do this?
No, there is not, sir. There is no easier way to kill these vermin because they are sneaky bastards. They drill down, they tunnel down, then they connect their tunnels, then they're tunneling up to others. They're tunneling all over the place. Tunneling.
Soldier, what is your body count right now?
We have no confirmed deaths. That's the most disappointing part. However, we have collapsed multiple tunnels. We have gas bombed multiple tunnels. Gopher and mole activity is down in the region. So we feel like we are winning the war.
Or your body count is 0? Is that what you're giving me right now?
Well, sir, they are underground. They're not coming out. So I'm not going to dig up the backyard to find the bodies. I apologize, but that is not in the doctrine of Mole Congo warfare. You gas them up, you bury them alive, and then you crush them if you can with your feet, and you move on.
See, Greg, this is your real voice. This yes. is your real voice, Siri Bob. It really is. It is. The L.A. Lincoln thing is a put-on. Now, we're supposed to find out where the moles are, right? And then you're supposed to take a pipe and put it on your tailpipe and start your car. Now, Eric Piotrowski can't do this because, well, it's electric. So you could do this. You could rev it up. You could give them some smoke. Like, get high and chill with your tailpipe instead of these bombs. And I'm starting to talk like Floridian.
Well, I appreciate what you're trying to say here. What I tell you right now is there's more satisfaction in taking a single gas bomb and shoving it into the hole and covering it up and watching the gas permeate up through the ground
Ladies
for a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, the USA, the most powerful country in the world, this is what we're dealing with here. Fear, your fear lies.
Hey, just like the Russians failed in Afghanistan, we failed in Vietnam because they tunneled. They tunneled, and we were not prepared for the tunnels. However, I am prepared for the tunnels.
Okay, so all right, okay. What the hell? Okay, you've said nothing apart from, you want to be called Bob. Have you killed any of these varmints, these creatures? Are you any further on, or are you just having fun?
It's a little bit of both, sir. if I'm perfectly honest, it's a little bit of both.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. I'm going to sing Nikita again.
Legitimately, the moles, it has decreased. The problem is they breed quickly, and then they just go to town. So they have... all throughout the backyard, up in our planter box area, they have all these little tunnels going on. And so some are connected, some are not connected. So when you're dropping gas bombs in, you're looking for new activity where they've recently dug up, and then you uncover it, you look and you try to figure out, you know, you have to kind of take your hand into the hole and open it up.
Uh-huh.
And then you pop in. And
Kim is shaking her head. Uh-huh.
Usually it's 1 to 2 fingers, I'm just saying.
God, it's usually me.
So 2 fingers in the stink.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Carry it home like a six-pack.
The reality is I like
a bowling ball.
The death mole. Because, I drop bombs in, then I cover the hole back up. I pack it down, and I move on to the next possible location. And now it's down to only 2 recent holes popped up. So I think we're winning because there were early probably about 20 that I've been attacking this past week. So
well, see, there's quite a fall off of your back wall there. It's quite high. Well, you know, if you get them up there and push them, you know, get them up against that high pot, they will push back harder because they think they're going to fall off.
Let me tell you, if I could actually see them, nothing would give me greater pleasure in killing these little bastards.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on display, their little heads on spikes.
Oh, Greg,
I absolutely would, and I would take pictures for you all, and they are the bane of my existence right now.
Phil, I'm sorry. Phil,
just like
no harm to all creatures. Yeah, leave no sign. No, you know, Greg. No, sorry.
What did he send a ferret in? Ferrets are pretty good.
Ferrets are not legal.
Nice Wrigley.
You're not allowed. You cannot legally own a ferret unless you are licensed for it.
Oh, fuck's sake! I can go and
wow.
Friggin' AR, whatever it is. Dear God.
The gnashes on the front of that ferret is just too much.
I'm sorry, did you ever hear about anybody in America going in and killing 20 people with a ferret?
Ferret.
America.
Oh, dear.
Dare me.
Anyway, so that's me.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
So, Kim,
yes.
We not update the monthly freebie. So what I'm gonna give you a task to do right now as talking here, and that is to find out what the PlayStation monthly freebies are and the Games of Gold monthly freebies are for the month of June. Maybe Prime Games if you can. In the meantime, we will talk about what we've been playing. We'll leave you for last, and then we can update all in one fell swoop. How's that?
Okay.
Perfectly grand. All right, Robin.
Go for it.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Robin. You.
Okay, let's look at this list here. What did I really like?
About Minecraft. Let's face it. Minecraft, it is what it is. And you've talked about it plenty, yeah?
Yeah, but it's still lots of fun in it. And as Nicole has said, just over the last few days about the community, it is a fantastic thing for our community, a real get-together place. And even more important than that, we have now loosened up the entry requirements for humans that can come in and play, and now for a limited period only, we're allowing 3 gingers. One place has been taken up this week, and Pete has joined the Minecraft crew, and he was, I think, one of the tasks, he was looking for Olympic-sized swimming pool. And I think he's going to make in a swimming pool in there. And he's been going around looking at things. He's been in the Nether. He's done so much stuff. So Minecraft is still a thing, Greg.
I'm sorry, Greg. Yeah, I'm sorry, Greg, but it was my first time this week. I've never played Minecraft before, ever. Mm-hmm. I've not touched it at all. I've watched the kids play it now and again, but never really got the gist of it. And it's a real steep learning curve, I think, that I've had to undergo this week. I wish there was, I don't know whether there is, instructions on crafting. Looks like, well, my daughter was trying to run through the crafting in a short amount of time, but tried to give me the basics to get me started. I think I'm going to struggle with the crafting, but I have just enjoyed. I've spent hours walking around and just looking at stuff, and I've not done anything else but that. And then I went onto my own little creative world, and I experienced the zombies and whatever they are that run around after you. And I've built a house, and I tried to get the whole making glass. I mean, you have to put sand in the furnace to create glass. Am I right? But like those little things, I need to pick that up.
They'll just come. They'll come.
Okay.
And Pete, some of the stuff that the guys are doing, I mean, on the video now, is some of the worlds that have been created within the OC podcast realm. It's just unbelievable, the things that they're making. The structures
that are fantastic.
You know, they're these big protrudences that come up like a stiff, tall thing into the sky, throbbing nighttime with flames burning from their tips. It's just amazing.
But these guys are really good.
They're making automated farms with redstone. They're doing all sorts of weird, wonderful things. And I'm just building my own house here and our property around here. And that's what I've been at. Nothing fancy, no fancy redstone. So it is what you make it. At the beginning, you'll just learn how to make an axe and a chopper. And
that's right.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And you learn wee stuff as you go along. And there's plenty of tutorials. But the OC realm is fantastic. The stuff that's been built out there is just so brilliant. So keep dipping in and out. At the moment, Phil and a few of the other guys, they've done so much building, they've decided to go on an Australian walkabout. So they're packing up a bed and a campsite. And because the world is literally, it takes about half an hour, 3/4 hour to get from one side of it to the other. And there's so many hidden mines and caves and villages. They're out just doing on walkabout now. Some of them just and getting their own adventure. Yeah.
So, you know, when you say it takes that time to get around the realm, it's
so big.
Is that walking around, not on that roller coaster thing that's going around?
Yeah, well, it takes from my house to Red Square, the main village centerpiece. My train, it takes about 5 minutes on my train to get from my house to there. And you've been on the little train. They're not overly fast, but that's still quite a long time. So,
well, I couldn't work out how to get onto the train. I couldn't work out how to call the carriage or anything. So I ended up just jumping onto the rail and just walking. I spent about 30 minutes just walking down this rail.
Yeah, you have to. Well, on my railway, there's little boxes beside them, and there's spare mine carts, and you throw a mine cart on and jump into it. We'll get to that. That's not going to do. That's sort of detail.
Well, getting into
looks like he's losing the will to live.
Yeah,
getting into a little bit.
So I'm glad you're enjoying that. Now, one thing that I did start, and I bought the I bought this on the PlayStation way back. And I don't know what made me do it, but a few weeks ago I bought No Man's Sky on the Xbox, and because I heard it had lots of updates and it was so much better, and I did play it on the PlayStation. It didn't really sort of jive, but I've put in maybe 8 or 10 hours now, and it sort of is. It is actually quite cool. It looks great. It looks great now. Pardon?
Yeah, it's had updates.
Yeah.
A ton of updates. So, compared to when it launched on the PlayStation 4 to what it is now, and this is all versions, PlayStation or Xbox, it is a much bigger, better game. Mm.
I haven't done much. You know, I mean, I've got my first ship repaired. I flew into space, went to another planet and sat down there and made a base and a few bits and pieces. So I haven't done that much. But I feel that it is Elite. I loved Elite as a kid, but the new Elite is class, and I know Mark got into it with his big, lovely, manly Hotas, thrusting master of a big joystick that he loved to hold on to while playing it. But it was just too complicated. This here, there's enough complexity to it, but it's more approachable, maybe.
Hmm. Well, I think they refined some of the gameplay elements, and they added some things that were missing from what was kind of promised from the get-go, and they've built in some new mechanics into the game that quite honestly make it that much better. So I think the overall package of No Man's Sky is now, I think, delivering on that initial promise, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm gonna go back to that again now. So, speaking of sort of going back to things.
Oh yeah, let's talk about this.
Going back to things. So I went back to a game which I thought I wouldn't do. And I went back to the Grand Tour. So I've always been a great Top Gear and Grand Tour fan. There's like quite a lot of us are. And Amazon and the guys released a game called The Grand Tour. And the basic principle of it is it followed all three seasons of The Grand Tour, and it interspersed video of the actual... You could watch a full episode, but every time they drove a car during that episode or done something silly in a car, you did that bit. Or it was imagined out a little bit more to make it more gamey. For example, if you remember the episode in season 3 where they went and pulled down all the statues... Like Stalin, and they had pickup trucks, and they pulled them off they had fake ones and the big plinth, and they tied the tow bar to them, and they pulled them down. You did that. Now that towing in the truck, only you had to tow very gently so it didn't spin the wheels, and the towing only lasted a few seconds, but it was still funny. It's funny, and it has some of the magic of the game. Now the big problem when it was first released was the car handling. Was friggin' awful. It was just stupid. You just couldn't play it. I wanted to play it. I didn't expect this to be Forza or Gran Turismo, but I expected there to be some semblance of driving feeling to it. And it was pretty much unplayable.
I think the appropriate way to comment on that was when this game launched, the gameplay bits were trash.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And now,
for some reason, I decided, look, I'm going to switch this on again. And there was one level on the first season where you had to go and chase a car down this country road in America somewhere. And you had to beat the car that was there. You were racing Hammond or something. And there's just no way. I must have tried it 30 times, and it was just floaty mess. And I went back to it and thought, I'll give this another go. And lo and behold, I won straight away. So I went, oh, okay, this feels a bit better. And I've done a few more races, and oh, it has. They've nerfed this. They've changed it. They've updated it. They've patched it. So now there's actually a game that's fun to play. It actually is Forza Horizon-esque as far as handling. Maybe not quite there, but definitely very playable racing game.
I'm skeptical.
Honestly, I'm not joking. You know, it is. Yes, there's things there that you bounce off the walls a little bit. It's not really that realistic. But the handling of the cars is now, it makes the game playable.
Is this a game that you can purchase? Game Pass?
No, it is.
No, it's not. It's a cheap game. So it was cheap.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, maybe 15 or 20 quid, something like that, Pete.
That's not too bad.
And it follows all three seasons. You literally can watch all three. You're buying all three seasons. But all of the racing car bits are all the car bits are you. So you race around the Ebola Drome and all the different cars they tested. And so instead of just getting the fastest time, you'll maybe have to drift around. And drifting is you press X and away you go. Did you watch it, Pete?
No. Okay.
Well, there was like stupid stuff where they went to China and they were on a go-kart track in full-size cars. And these smart-arse boys with drones, but these drones were flamethrowers as well. And okay. They taped firecrackers to their boot and the bonnet and the hood. And they had to whiz round the track to see who could get round without the firecrackers going off with these kids trying to get them with the drones and the flamethrowers. Well, that's in it. You know, stupid stuff. You know, all of that stuff is in it. There was one episode where they have AK-47s and they're going around a shooting range in the back of the pickup truck. And you get an AK-47 and you have to shoot the different targets in the back of this thing. So there's all different types of gameplay. So, look, if you dabbled in the Grand Tour and you threw it away because it just was crap and the handling, it's now playable and it's fun. And if you're a fan, you know, if you're a purist racing guy and you just want pure racing, this isn't it. But if you're a Grand Tour fan, it is now playable and it's a bit of fun. I'm almost through all of season three, I've had a good laugh with it again. So go.
Right. These are the Top Gear guys on there. Grand Tour. Is that right? Watch the little bit of it, but not. I don't know that. Is it Jeremy Clarkson? Is he?
Oh yeah, yes. He's a cunt. Yeah.
I don't know that guy.
I know.
I like the other one who was in an accident and was in hospital for a short while. What's his name?
So that's Richard Hammond. Okay, so you do it. That. So you don't do one of his accidents. So that was an electric car, and in that episode, all three of them were in a hill. It was a hill climb. You know that how fast you can get up the road in a car, and
yeah.
I'm going, well, he's in this and I'm racing, so how are they going to, am I just going to finish and they're going to ignore that? And three quarters of the way through it, you kind of lose control of the car and away you go and it crashes and everything. So that's in it. So it's good fun. So if you're a fan of the show, go back to it. And you bought it, go back.
If you're a fan of the show, the Grand Tour is a good call. If you are a racing sim fan, not so much.
Well, real racing sim fans like car things, so yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't have liked this at the time. Now, maybe it's worth checking out. I don't know if there's a demo, but I would say demo if you can.
So there you go. That's me. That's what I've been. Through all the shit and all the busyness, I've managed to play some games. So, yeah.
All right. Pete, I see you also. Obviously, we talked about Minecraft. Just to get the record clear, I appreciate what Minecraft does. I do recognize that Minecraft is a fantastic, wonderful game, not one that I get on with. And so, Pete, I will say to you what I have said to Mike, your brother, many a times, I hate you. and I hate you only from the standpoint that you're now on the Minecraft bandwagon, but that's okay. It's okay. I'll get over it. One of these days, I'll get over it.
Well, the thing was, I said that I was going to play games that I've never played before this year and probably not in my comfort zone. I do like shoot 'em ups. I'm a big PUBG fan. I like COD and Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
I do like your big story-driven games as well, like Red Dead. But, yeah. And I'm playing God of War as well. I've not played that this week, though. But it's just something completely different. And I'm at the moment as well, I've forgotten that I needed to, just looking at the show notes, that I wanted to look at Void Bastards. And I'm downloading that now as well. So I'm going to make sure that I play that in the next week or so. But I really enjoyed it. I did.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, except for, anyway.
You know, it's that thing that Robin was talking about a week or two ago. When you just want to sit down and just, play games that are not pressured and you just want a bit of escapism, that is a real good game for that. And I think...
Definitely escapism. That is for sure. You're in a block
war. All right. I'll show up.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Pete. I'm giving you a hard time. Pete, what are you drinking? Robin, what are you drinking? I see two Chardonnay-esque drinks in hand. So, Robin, first, what are we drinking?
Wairu Cove from Marlborough, New Zealand, and this little 2018 Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, Sauvignon Blanc. And Pete?
Yeah, it is a Chardonnay. It's a brand called Barefoot, and I think...
I know Barefoot. I know.
Yeah.
Also, I believe.
Sorry?
I think it's also Australian.
Californian.
Yeah, all right. I totally lied.
Yeah. And you should know that more than anybody.
Feel boat.
Chardonnay. Yeah.
All right.
Chardonnay. Hello, Chardonnay. How are you, love?
Kim, are we drinking anything at the moment? I'm just doing a check.
Bailey's. She's on mute. Right. Did you know the timing of me saying Bailey's as well was just perfect with lip syncing?
Hey, what do you know? I am on mute. There you go. Yeah. Bailey's.
That was amazing lip syncing. I could not read.
It was.
She's barefoot. What? No. All right. Bailey's. Okay. All right.
Bailey's. Yep.
Water for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's training for EGX. We're gonna ruin this guy.
I've got to bring it for EGX. That's damn sure. All right.
Do you know what?
Pete.
You've got a long way to go, Greg, for EGX. Because I think back and shame. To last year, crawling around my bedroom floor in the hotel room looking for my kebab and trying to put it all back in at the end of the box, and my son trying to pick me up, and I'm going, no, leave me alone, it's my kebab, I'm all right, leave me alone. How low can you get? That's the lowest of the low. Put my son through that.
I'm hoping for a repeat, Robin.
I promise you, that's the level that we're going to be at. Fucking leave me alone. I love you, man. I fucking love you. Darren, help. More shots. Daz, no. You've broken me. Anyway.
Yeah, this is probably why I don't go to EGX, because oh dear Lord.
Probably smart, Kim. Probably smart. Pete and Kim, let's talk about Trials.
Sure.
We're revisiting Happy Camper, I believe, is the track that everybody's been giving it a go. I have not seen both of your times yet.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, this track is really tough on the Rhino bike.
Indeed.
I think I've shaved 2 seconds off my original time, and I remember looking when I first started, I think I shaved about a second off, and I was still slower than Mark Annix, and he was using a squid bike. So I was like, well, that can't ring true. You've surely got to pull in a quicker time using a Rhino bike. But
you would think.
Apparently, it's more difficult.
There's finesse. There are times when you are going to be letting off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself. That is the challenge that presents itself on this track with that bike. I'm happy with the time I put up.
I'm not happy with mine, but oh well.
We're gonna
go next
week, so you do have more time.
Yes.
Oh, is it so definitely been extended then?
Yeah.
I might beat Tank Top yet.
Unless Mark updated our times, which I don't think he did.
No, he did say that there might be a problem with updating the times before tonight.
Yeah. So he is the record keeper of all things considered time in times for trials. So, we'll let it go an extra week.
Yeah, and then when he asked us in WhatsApp if any of us wanted to take it over, none of us said anything. So that should tell you something right there.
I missed that. In fairness, I did miss that. I would have offered up. No, I wouldn't have. Let's extra week. I need to try and beat Womble's time. Womble put up an amazing time so far.
That's all right. I need to try to beat you again. So, you know.
Is it 35.5 your time? Is it 35?
35.015.
So your time's changed now. I'm just looking at the picture I sent Mark, and I think I used you, Greg, as someone to play against just to get a better time. But as much as I love this game, I find it a struggle. I'm not used to the whole bike balance technique and how to land. Cleanly, so I'm not stalling, because I've seen sometimes even just the first two obstacles that you need to tackle can be so crucial. I mean, I've crept up on Happy Camper with most people towards the end of the course, but the first two obstacles that are in the way, there's that yellow signpost, and just clearing that properly.
Yep.
And I'm like, I can't nail that, and it so winds me up, and As much as this game poses its difficulties, I absolutely love it. And I think this competition is so healthy at the minute, and it's really, really brought together a whole bunch of people. And there's a even within the is it 11 or 12 people that are amongst this? People have made their own little silos almost, and like you're playing against Womble. I've got my little battle against Mark, and I think Kim's starting to bite at our ankles now. So it's getting really interesting. Yeah, so I love this game. It's ace. I mean, buy the game. Get on it. Join the fun.
Trials Rising, in case anybody is curious for the full title we're playing right now. And yeah, it is when you have people to compete against, in a kind of an ongoing competition, it makes this game infinitely better. Leaderboards really play well into that as well, and the fact that we're able to kind of do this cross platform, because we have a WhatsApp group that's basically linking everybody together. So even if you're on PlayStation 4 and you've got Trials Rising, you can take part in this. All you have to do is reach out to me or Marcanix, get into our WhatsApp group, and then when you post a time up, just take a picture of it with your phone, and then you put it into the WhatsApp group, and then we've got Danok TQ, or he's also known as, his real name is Luis Raimondo. He is doing a score, a leaderboard of our own group of how we finish each week. And so he's got basically this, a leaderboard within a leaderboard.
Wow.
I know.
Game within a game.
Quantum physics.
It's
only $17.99 to buy as well in the UK. I don't know how much it is in the US, but $17.99, that's nothing. And with the amount of tracks that are on this game, this could go on for a long time. It's cool. And you don't need to dip into it for a long time to submit your best time.
I submitted to it this week and played a bit more, and it broke me. So Sarah in the chat said she liked sort of the trials game. She really likes the idea of comparing stats. Greg, that's your favorite thing. Compare stats with Sarah.
Compare stats. There you go. and just for the record, Kim, you guys gave me a lot of grief last week over you beating me. Mark was all in on that. The record to be known, I did not actually race that track in our competition last time. What
I still beat you.
You saw, and you beat me, did it fair and square, but that was usually I'll give a quick run through of a track just to get the layout. Not really caring about the time.
Greg DeLacy, I do not believe you.
That's okay. Let me just throw this down, and I'm going to throw this at you, Pete, too. Neither you nor Kim ever.
Oh. Damn,
he's gonna throw it out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we need to go back. I threw out a challenge last week, if you remember, Greg. I'm going to try and pull that up. So chat away. I put up a challenge last week of to put the time in blindfold, the best time blindfold.
Oh God, yeah.
Robin threw out I'll give a $10 gift card to anybody who can post the best time playing the track blindfolded, which let me tell you is near impossible it is near impossible to do without fault. With mm-hmm. which is certainly doable, but again, I did not even attempt this, but we did one person that attempted it and did it, which is even better.
Wow.
Yes. So that was, I believe, Nick Auld.
Yep.
Of course.
Yep. And he did it in like 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
No, it's more than that. It was about 7 minutes on it. Hang on.
Wasn't strong
points. I think it's
in front of me.
I have it running on the stream right now. If you look at him, he has the blindfold on and his kids are there. Kind of laughing at him and videoing him. I think, it took him, 7 minutes, I think?
I got it here. It's seven minutes and 1 second and a little bit more with 39 faults.
Oh, it's so
funny. Leave it to one.
That's fantastic. Yes.
And I felt...
you got the first checkpoint, though.
I did it sort of out of a bit of fun and thought, but what I actually seen him do, I actually felt quite bad in myself because he actually put him through this. But part of me went... No, because he's having great fun with his kids because they're giggling at him and having a bit of a laugh with him as well. So well done to you, Nick. I will be in touch. And you've just won yourself 10 quid to spend on whatever you want to do. Maybe take your kids out and get them some sweeties. Or play it on games. More likely to spend better on games. So well done. Thank you for doing that. It made us all laugh, I think. So yeah, good lad. Good lad.
No, absolutely. That was fantastic. Kim,
yes.
I know we've been lingering a little bit, so I'm going to try and pick up the pace for us. But let's dive into this. Red Dead Redemption 2. I just quick coverage, but
okay.
You got to some of the story parts that.
Oh my God! I finished chapter 3, and if you've played Red Dead 2, you know what the hell I'm talking about there. Oh my God! I was so ready to kill Bill and Micah that. It's not even funny. Ugh, God.
The tables turn.
Oh, yeah.
Them two fuckers are just,
I get this message from Kim. She's,
Because I didn't know who else to talk to, because,
I was cracking up. I'm like, no, I totally know that. I remember walking away from those missions that led up to kind of the point you're at, just thinking, I don't feel good about anything right now.
No.
But this is what also led me down the path to really starting to like Arthur Morgan. Because I did not like him to begin with the game. When the game first started, I didn't care for him. Mm. I thought he was actually a little bit dull. And I was like, man, they really kind of missed the mark on this character. I was like, wow, this is not like Rockstar to have a character that's not charismatic. You don't really care about him. You know, that changes for sure.
Oh, yeah. And how he... doesn't put a bullet in either one of those two assholes, I will I swear.
That just shows his loyalty.
I would have at least punched him, I swear to God. He's like, this doesn't feel right, and then wham, and I'm like, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Well, obviously, it was to go out and play some other games. You have quite a few games on your list here. So.
Actually, yeah. I fired up Spyro, played some more of that because Tony was down, and, Spyro is his absolute favorite. And he's never played these games. The only reason he knows Spyro is from the Skylanders and little toy things. He's played that. So we fired that up, and I played through the first one. I'm not done yet. But it's fun going back and playing it again. So, and speaking of Red Dead, there was an update and I couldn't play it, so I thought, okay, what else can I do while I'm waiting for the update? I've downloaded this game, Operencia, The Stolen Sun. It's a RPG. It's a dungeon crawler. It's like Divinity, Original Sin, a little bit. The voice acting kind of sucks. Some characters are a little better than others, and graphically it's kind of but I played it for a good hour, and it's not terribly bad, and it's free. I think it's in Game Pass, maybe. So, if you're looking for another dungeon crawler and you don't want to spend any money, then try this one. Like I said, if you can get past the cheesy voice acting and the graphics kind of meh, it's not so bad. So, Okay. You know, let me see. Yeah, Zen Studios.
Is it, I'm at a bit here, which is like Sony Playboy menus. Is it top down? Is it or?
It's first person.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, you can even put the little grid up on the screen so you can see like how many squares you're moving, and it's turn based and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's not as involved, I don't think, as Divinity is, but you know, it's not bad. I mean, I had to back up a couple, trying to get into like through doors and stuff. Sometimes you're kind of off, so you have to back up and try again. But other than that, hell, it's not so bad. Like I said, the story seems interesting, so.
I think had I not been playing Divinity, this might have had more appeal for me. But the voice acting, as you noted, it's really wooden.
Yeah.
I couldn't get around that. I couldn't get past that, given the fact that I still was playing Divinity. So.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. Yeah. Yeah. The main two characters, yeah, their voice acting is bad. But then I ran into, well, then you create your own character. And it's not so bad, but then you run into, I think he's a rogue or something later on, and his voice acting is not so bad. But yeah, the first two characters, the king and queen, I think they are, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I've not played any game like this really before, so I've added it to the download list. That's just the gift with Game Pass, isn't it, Tate? Yeah.
Beautiful, Pete. It's just like a big bundle of new joy. It really is.
11.8 gig. That's a big game, isn't it?
No.
That Void Bastards, it's only like 4?
Yeah, but like Red Dead Redemption's like 30 or
oh,
40.
Oh, yeah, well, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I added two games to my list that were not part of I completely forgot I actually played them, so I want to talk about those in just a moment. PUBG, Trials, we talked about that. So I played a couple indies that were part of Game Pass and Games for Gold, I believe. So For the King... It has a kind of Zelda vibe to it, an old school Zelda vibe. It's a kind of top-down grid-based RPG. You have three members of your party that you can choose, you know, kind of how you want to outfit your party. It's very simplistic in a lot of ways. I don't quite get how some of the mechanics work, to be honest. I got real turned off by the dialogue of the game. Talking about old school Zelda, it's all dialogue boxes. You know, and there's no audio voiceover, so it's just dialogue boxes popping up. You're skipping past them to get to the next dialogue box. And that wears on me really fast. I hate games that do this, so... I played a little bit of it, though, For the King. It is a throwback RPG. It might have some roguelike elements to it. I'm not quite positive. You venture around this map. You're given some quests to go forward and do. It looks like a pretty large open world. And you move your characters. And this is the weird part. So you have three characters in your party, but you move them around the map independently. And at first, I moved my one character, and I ran into an enemy. And the character basically attacked the enemy on his own. So it was my one character against two other enemy characters. So I was like, okay. So I need to move them together, I guess. And then I started trying to move them together around the hexagon map. And ran into another enemy, and this time they all three were together. But then in a next move, I had one character go to a kind of a hex nearby, but was on his own, encountered enemies, and yet all three party members were there again. So I'm not understanding how that mechanic works, because you're certainly at a disadvantage if you don't have your other party members there. Yeah, but it looks funny. Like
I have video running at the moment, and one of the players is called Amaranth. I'm sure it's not Nicole, but you never know. Yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, you know what? You're either a fan of this type of game or you're not. And
yeah, doesn't look like my type of game.
Yeah, definitely old school. The other game I tried out was Outer Wilds. So this kind of reminds me a little bit of No Man's Sky, in that it's about space exploration. You're going into, you're basically an alien creature Again, it's got dialogue boxes to move the conversations around, which I'm not a fan of. This is a very complicated game. This is a game about you're going to be building components and parts to better your equipment, better your vehicle. The real challenge with this game, to be perfectly honest, is the actual ship and flying. It has very realistic flight controls, similar to, I don't know why, but it reminds me of Kerbal Space Program in that flying can go disastrously wrong very quickly. And you fly out of your planet and you go to other planets. You have to land your landing vehicle onto those planets. There's a landing dock camera that basically has a top-down view looking down as you're trying to basically bring your vehicle down. The vehicle's kind of controlled. I guess they control to what a drone would be like if you're flying a drone around. Although you have bottom and top thrusters. So basically, if you get your vehicle upside down, you know, you can utilize your thrusters in different ways that you normally wouldn't be able to, say, with a drone out in the real world. You can flip your vehicle 180 degrees this way or that way.
That's lovely, but it's too complicated.
So
I think one of the things about this game, Greg, was that these are not procedurally generated planets. So every one of these planets in this galaxy or this universe or a solar system or whatever, the space, the game I play area, each planet has been handcrafted. So it's not like it's just a random planet, which is a nice thing. But if it's too complicated, barrier to entry, you know?
Again, the dialogue box thing, I think, also really turned me off to it because you spend a lot of time going, you know, there's lots of people to talk to on that first planet and you're talking to them. You're kind of like, I just want to skip and get to the part where I'm learning how to fly. And that was just me being impatient. But I think this definitely is a game worth exploring, especially if you like a game like No Man's Sky. I would say check it out because the fact that they have these handcrafted worlds that you're going to go venture to means that there's always going to be something there. It's not going to be a waste of time. And it really has a unique art style, which I love. I do love the art style to this game. It's got a very simple kind of feel to it, but there's a lot of whimsy within the world.
I was just looking at the video footage and it looked like you was in a crash land into a planet, which hadn't rendered properly on the screen, but in actual fact, it was just the atmosphere of the planet, and you're going into almost a whole load of it looked like nuclear storm and tornadoes and all that stuff going on. It's quite pretty, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is a game that I think it's in game preview right now. But I was part of the Xbox beta testers for Inside Xbox. And so they actually gave copies of this game away. I just out of having it, wanted to check it out once it released. So I don't know. It's worth a look. Like I said, in game preview, so you should be able to get an hour trial and check it out for sure.
Look, okay. So just in the chat there, Nerd Allegiance, Lewis, it was saying about Game Pass. And how he was paying for it. So he was saying that you can, for 3 months of Game Pass, you can redeem it for 17,000 points, which translates to $17. Now, Mark and Phil were chatting about the rewards program. That's like using the browser, going, doing some quizzes, filling in some bits and pieces of questions the odd time. Playing games, you get points. And the points mean you can cash them in for shopping, real life, real world premises. They'll send you a certificate or code, or you can get a voucher to buy games or Game Pass. And that's fantastic, but that all adds up to the Game Pass itself. The games you've just talked about, Greg and Kim as well, and Pete, you're loving it. You know, the Game Pass is such a fantastic value because you can dip in and out of games that you normally wouldn't do. Maybe on PC, if you're all PC players, you'll get all these Steam demos, all those bits and pieces. But this is, I think this is pretty cool, you know, that you can do this sort of thing. and things mm-hmm. like Void Bastards, which we'll get to in a second. None of us would have touched that.
For sure. Game Pass is I mean, I don't like to use the term game changer lightly because it gets used a lot. But I feel like it has become a bit of a game changer or just a disruptor within the console industry, and maybe even PC now. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit as well. But Void Bastards, this is the game I actually do want to talk about. This is made by, I believe it is some of the former BioShock Infinite developers, if I'm not mistaken, that they went off and kind of created their own studio. So the premise behind Void Bastards is you play the role of an inmate, and you are being basically picked to go out and go to these derelict ships within the void, and you are scavenging for materials. And basically, there's this I don't know how you would describe it. I mean, it's basically an AI intelligence that's kind of giving you all of this information. It's a British voice and quite funny, to be honest. That's constantly talking to you.
Laughing at us?
Yes. But no, so this AI is telling you kind of, you know, here's the deal. You go out, you find stuff, and bring it back to the ship. And if you want your freedom, you have to go out and you have to, you know, basically find some key elements. And if you find these elements, then maybe it'll get you your freedom. And on top of this, you have this backpack. And this backpack is I'm trying to remember the intro. It's been a while. But
bits them up.
The backpack. It basically saves your collection of goods. So if you die, I'm really screwing up this.
Yeah, you are.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Taking a step back.
So the premise is you go out, you are in a first person shooter kind of setting. The presentation of the game is very comic book cell shaded.
Yeah, Spider-Man 1970s. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah. And in fact, the opening credits are all done in comic book panel panes. And in fact, if you let the start screen go long enough, you'll see it actually shows you a comic book cover for Void Bastards. So it is meant to be this comic book playing out, so to speak.
Okay.
It also incorporates FTL. So if you ever played the game FTL, you know that you had this ship and you would travel along a pick-your-own path to get to the end. And at the end was obviously winning the game. Along the way, you would get upgrades. You would get different challenges that would kind of set you back or help propel you along. And if you die in FTL, you start all over again. In Void Bastards, if you die along the way, you start all over again. It's very much a roguelike. However, just like other games out there that have kind of tweaked the roguelike scenario, instead of being reset to zero with everything, what happens is the AI actually tells you your backpack saves all the goods you collect. And so anything you've crafted or made in the game gets like a hand-me-down to the next bastard up to go out to the ships. And so if you craft a better gun, you'll get that better gun for your next playthrough. So as you go along, as long as you're in basically the star map or you've come back from a ship, it saves your progress. You don't die. You don't start over again. If you are on a ship and say you shut down your Xbox, you die. You have to start over again. If you die on the ship, obviously, you start all over again. So you get a new character. And the interesting thing also is as you get new characters, it's a random thing, but you will get possibly one or two traits added to your character. The traits can be good or bad. So the first time I had a guy, and I think everybody starts off, the first trait you get is smoker. So as you're going through the ship, you'll cough every once in a while. And that can alert enemies to your location.
Oh, yeah. Coughing would do that. Yeah.
You do have, on certain ships, once in a while, you'll come across
lozenges.
close. But it'll be like a gene therapy room. And what you can do is you can go in and either remove a bad trait or maybe add in a good trait. And you'll have options that you can do. But other times, you're going to get, like, positives. So, like, I had a character that was overly tall and also overly strong. So I had extra health, on top of which the presentation, my character was a lot taller. So it was harder for me to duck down out of sight, but it wasn't really a bad trait at the end of the day. So I really was liking that character up until he died. So this game, just there's something about this game. It's addictive. You can just keep going. It's easy to start back up again. And what I love about it is the comedy and the comedic way they handle death. And so, again, these are all these little weird things that the game throws at you along the way. Look, this is on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, download Void Bastards. Give it a try. I think, you know, once you get into the rhythm of playing it, you will really enjoy it. And obviously, if you're on PC or other platforms that, you know, has it, I've got nothing but good things to say about it right now. I think throughout the industry, a lot of people are giving this game a ton of recognition. A lot of people are talking about it. It kind of came out of nowhere. And much like FTL kind of took over a lot of conversations a few years back, Void Bastard seems to be doing the same thing. Anyway, that's it. That's me. That's done. All right.
Quiz.
It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Love it.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Question number one. Out of the four of us, which one of us has a quiz?
Me.
Wrong.
Me. Audio.
Correct. Yes. Okay, Greg. Let's go. It's a Kim quiz.
Here we go. Woo. Quiz. So this is a Who Said It Best quiz for video games, just in case anybody was wondering. So I will give you a quote from in-game, then I'm going to give you three choices, and you try to figure out who said it best, and of course then we collect all the scores, and at the end of this there will be some grandiose prize that will really be not probably worth it, but bragging. Bragging rights will be there. Okay. All right, here we go. First quote. Oh, my fucking God. They're coming out of the wall, sphincters. Said it best. A, ooh, PDQ886/YesMan. Was it B, GLaDOS? Or C, Claptrap? Who said it best?
What was the first one?
PDQ886/YesMan. B, GLaDOS. C, Claptrap.
Okay, I know the answer to this. Sorry, I know an answer to this. Sorry. Yeah.
Three, two, one.
Ooh, it's a lovely sort of bird.
Pete had said C, Claptrap, obvious. And then we have Robin saying A, which was PDQ886, also known as Yes Man. And I'm happy to report it is, in fact, Claptrap.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm. High five, Kim.
Yeah.
This is my favorite character on Borderlands, believe it or not. So
who is PDQ886?
I believe I think he's also known as Yes Man. So I think he is from Borderlands. And
see, I was thinking about Prey and the sphincters. So huh? Yeah, I remember the originals for the portals and like yeah. Sphincters. Anyway, I do you know what I used for that? I used logic. Logic never works.
Never works in these games.
University. I used the fact that I knew what it was, so.
All right, here we go. Who said it best? Quote number two, "Go to sleep, my little killer. Mommy's got a big day for you." Who said it best? Go to sleep, my little killer. Mommy's got a big day for you tomorrow. Was it A, Atlas, B, GLaDOS, or C, PDQ-886?
Yeah. Okay.
I need answers in 3, 2, 1. Everybody has said A, Atlas.
Everybody is wrong.
Oh, well.
Is GLaDOS.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Last one. Tell me I'm the prettiest. Who said it best? Tell me I'm the prettiest. Is it A, GLaDOS, B, PDQ-886, yes, man, or C, Claptrap? Who said it best? Tell me I'm the prettiest. Personally, I think I said it best, but that's beside the point.
Who are the three choices again?
Your three choices are A, GLaDOS, B, PDQ-886, also known as Yes Man, or C, Claptrap. Who said it best? Tell me I'm the prettiest. I need your answers in 3, 2, 1.
Ooh. Ooh, all you two are in tune tonight.
Robin has said A, GLaDOS, and Pete have said B, also known as PDQ-886/YesMan. And the correct answer is, tell me I'm the prettiest, Claptrap.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I don't remember that one, I guess.
I can't do a robotic voice.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
That is your quiz. And I'm happy to say that I have gotten a half point to put myself points. Woohoo!
Catching up with you, Mark.
Exactly.
Just so you know.
Goodness me.
And Pete, we got to get Pete on the board here.
Yeah, I'm on.
Did you not put charts?
Put your points in, Kim.
Fine.
All right. That's it for the news quiz. Thank you again, Nicole, for that. I appreciate that. And we'll talk about some news. We've got.
Here is the fucking news.
This is actually some big news this past week. We were not anticipating getting any kind of big news leading up to E3. And lo and behold, we got three really big pieces of news. One minor piece of news, which I'm going to lead with. And this goes back to Minecraft. I forgot to put this in the show notes, but I wanted to give it its just due. Minecraft reported in China, they've released Minecraft over 1.3 billion downloads.
To that's one person.
Probably.
A seventh of the world's population. That's nuts.
I know. It is nuts. And, it makes me go back. This is where the conversation with Nicole came from in our chat group. And that is, Microsoft paid $2 billion to get Minecraft. And I thought at the time, I get Minecraft is huge, but that's freaking nuts. $2 billion for a franchise that's already been out for many, it had already been out for a few years. Mm-hmm. But I think their investment has paid off. I will just say.
Are they charging? When you say downloads, I wonder how much they're charging for it in China.
I'm sure there's a free download within that, no doubt. But if you think they get just half that group to maybe pitch in.
It's like they've got China in their hands.
Yeah.
Pow.
Oh, boom. Oh. Yeah. Would you concentrate on life that's happening to you right now rather than the virtual one that's in your phone, Greg DeLacy? I know you got a message and how important it is, but we're here now in this vital thing. What was that? Was that the Chinese Prime Minister contacting you going, don't talk about us or we'll raid your house and take your flipping Halo mask? Yes.
He said, I can see your moles.
Yep.
Anyway, all right.
Spread the chin.
Here we go. Microsoft brings Game Pass to streaming services like PC. Sorry. Microsoft to bring Game Pass streaming service. I hate some of the titles people put out there. Anyway, Microsoft is bringing Game Pass to PC. They announced it this past week. They also announced that they are changing out and bringing back Win32 support to the Microsoft Store. The big you know, thing on that is previously they had been trying to force everybody to make UWP games in the Microsoft Store. This means that you will get a lot more actual big games releasing out into the Microsoft Store. But it also comes with Microsoft saying, hey, we're going to release Game Pass to PC. That's huge. They're also going to bring Xbox games, so Gears of War 5, coming to Steam day one. That is big because most people thought it would never come to Steam. They would keep it kind of off Steam, make it a Microsoft Store exclusive. Microsoft really seems to be just pulling back the doors and saying, you know what, we want our games to be on devices that you want them to be on. And they're kind of sticking by that mantra. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't need to.
I've never heard anybody use that mantra before, Greg. Pulling back the doors. Is that a mantra that you use quite a lot there in Lincoln? Is it pulling back just the doors? Did you just make that up?
Yep. On the cuff.
That's like that could come into common parlance on a day-to-day basis.
Pulling make it back thing, the doors. Pulling back the doors.
I'm going to use that tomorrow. When I'm in work, I'm going to go, right, everybody, we're going to pull back the doors. You understand what I mean?
Robin?
Pulling back the doors, yes.
Fuck off. Robin, remember told Pete, I hate him.
Remember I was in a bad mood?
Yeah. Robin?
You're helping. Yeah. Stop being like Max Headroom, will you? You're just dropping every word every now and again. It's cool.
That's actually our Skype today, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't it good news that those little PC players, because they're usually the butt end of everything, and it's great that they're getting around, because usually it's the Sony players are usually the butt end of my tongue. But PCs, fantastic. Good stuff, PC people. Isn't it great?
So when was this announced? Because this is kind of like Pete on one of my predictions for E3. I didn't see this. Is it?
Yeah, just there we go. I want to say it was Wednesday or Thursday that it got announced.
There we go.
Yeah. So on top of that announcement, we also got the announcement that Call of Duty Modern Warfare is officially a thing, and that it will be coming October 25th this year. It is a reboot of the original Duty Warfare.
We touched on this last week, if you remember, Pete, if you remember, Kim. We said that the name came out because we thought, let me see, what would be a really original name for Call of Duty? That's Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, there was a sort of a hint last week that it was going to be not so much a reboot or more like a reimagining. So that's a confirmed now. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. All right. Yeah.
The interesting thing on that is it says it will feature cross-play support for multiplayer, PlayStation 4, Windows, PC, and Xbox One.
That's another thing that's pissed on one of my E3 predictions. So.
You're not doing very well, are you?
I know.
There's an interesting thing here. What's going to happen with the PUBG mode in Call of Duty that came out last year? Will that be integrated with this because it's a different development house? How will that work?
We don't know.
Surely they'd jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, surely.
Surely. Don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Have to wait and see. Death Stranding also came out with a new trailer reveal. It was quite a long little trailer. November 8th release date. November 8th, 2019.
Now you can see the trailer. Now you can't see the trailer. You can see the trailer. Now you can't see
that. Robin, that was the tease. They actually came out with legitimate gameplay. They showed it off. Everybody kind of went nuts. They also, I think, in particular, went nuts because it is coming out this year. Nobody thought this game was coming this year. It is coming out now this year. I think those that are hoping Last of Us 2 was going to come this year are now officially giving up on that hope. This will be Sony's big game for this holiday, and Last of Us 2 for sure will be next year.
Yeah, because I thought I saw somewhere where The Last of Us 2 had been pushed back to 2020. So
that's safe now to say that will be the case. All right.
Death standing is Mr. It's like a DHL thing, isn't it? Isn't it like you have to deliver parcels?
It's hard to say what the game is. We still don't really know. We know more. We know it's an open world. We know that there's crafting within it. We know that it's about exploration. We know that Norman Reedus has a motorcycle. Of course he has a motorcycle, but he has a motorcycle he can ride. He carries around a briefcase. He carries around a backpack and a child.
Okay, am I the only person that doesn't care about Death Stranding?
Yeah.
No.
Really? I like my idea better, that it was like Space Invaders, but instead of them coming down slowly, they went up slowly. I preferred that idea. I thought that was original. That would have worked.
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima could have just popped up after you shot the last one. One went, Japan! And went, moved down there. And it dropped weird little babies from the ship. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Robin, we're moving forward.
Okay.
We're running long, so I want to make sure we get these in.
Okay. Get them in. Spread the chin.
Tom sent some E3 predictions to us.
Uh-huh. I have some of those.
I know. You have some. Pete Chin also has some. Pete emailed the show before I had asked him to jump onto the show. So, mm-hmm. Pete, I put yours in there just in case you forgot them.
there. Which I did. Yeah. You know me well.
So you can't roll back on them. Anyway, so let's go through Tom Harding's predictions real fast. Then Robin will go into yours and Pete's, and we can let you guys kind of go back and forth on it. Okay. All right, so Tom Harding said, hey, guys and gals, I thought I would drop you a line about E3 or Summer Christmas, as I call it. Feel free to discuss or apologize if you have already mentioned any of these. Firstly, there have obviously already been a few announcements, which I am sad that companies can't wait till the show to drop. I don't get why they do it, though. I do get why they do it, though, as they don't want to be overshadowed. So, yeah, I think, Robin, you...
That is not a sound effect. That's real life.
Nope.
But Robin, you were talking about earlier how you hated the fact that these spoilers were happening for E3.
Yeah. I called you a favorite name. Our favorite name. Or my favorite name. Yeah. Yes, do you know what? I like my E3 to be like Christmas Day. I know some of these things are sort of foreshadowing and they do release some stuff. But damn it, the big like Call of Duty stuff beforehand. I know Sony aren't there and they have to talk about Death DHL beforehand. But I just like it. I don't want to know. And then you said, yeah, okay, it's a wee bit of marketing beforehand. But I don't want that. I want it all at once. I want them to splurge all over me. I want to just that, you know, like when we sit in E3 all day long, it was exciting. It was it just dripping all over my face, dropping down my chest, all E3 announcements. That's all I wanted, Greg. And they've taken that away from me.
I know they have. I know they have. But you'll get over it. You'll get over it.
I don't know.
You'll be. Yeah.
I don't think you will.
You'll be okay, Robin, because there's going to be more announcements. There's going to be other things that you haven't
just
heard.
Just think of. There's going to be better announcements.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, but for freak's sake, would you get on with it and read it and hurry up and faster, would you?
Game Pass on PC. Happy about this, but curious to get more info. Is it entirely separate, or do I get to have Game Pass on Xbox as well? Is there any cross-platform compatibility involved? Lots of questions about this. There's lots of speculation that Game Pass Ultimate is what's going to tie everything together, and that you'll still be able to buy at a cheaper cost individually. That's my guess, at least. Death Stranding, still WTF. I'm not sure whether I'm on board with this or not, as from what I saw gameplay-wise, it almost looks a bit boring. Even so, I'll be keeping an eye up until release. I think, you know, it's a Kojima game. It's going to have a lot of WTF moments in it. New Modern Warfare. I've not played a Call of Duty game since Black Ops 3, and this doesn't really make me want to. I know a lot of people will be loving this, but it lacks originality, so I'll pass. I am in a wait-and-see camp because I know they're doing a pretty much a reboot to this, so I'm wondering if they're actually rebooting the story. And it's not going to be rinse and repeat, but it's actually going to be, in a sense, kind of a new Call of Duty Modern Warfare with some of the same characters, but they're going to be doing different missions. It's going to be a different set piece. So that'll be interesting to see. And so now his predictions. So I'm going to run through these real fast. Feel free to chime in as you want. For Microsoft, new hardware announcement. Duh. News on xCloud. Duh. Maybe a beta date. Duh. And registration launch. Duh. Gears 5 and Halo Infinite gameplay shown.
Duh.
We love you, Tom. We're having a hard time. Here's one nobody's been talking about yet. Forza Motorsport 8 announced. At least two new IP announcements from the new studios, and the usual ID at Xbox montage. So Tom playing it safe with Microsoft, but I think that is all pretty spot on stuff. Mm-hmm. Rumored Ubisoft mm-hmm. announces similar to EA Access. I think that is likely. New Splinter Cell announced. Hoping.
Yep.
A new Steep announced. Maybe. I don't know. Did anybody play Steep?
No. Anybody? I have it, but never played it.
Do you play Steep?
No.
Pete, you're not moving. Are you frozen? Assassin's Creed Odyssey standalone expansion announced, and Dancing Bollocks. Yes, there will.
I'd be into that. That'd be good fun. That's the most exciting thing to do. Just two big bollocks hanging on the Ubisoft game. Hey, you. How come one's hairy and one's not? Because I'm only half a modern man. Where's my hairy bollocks?
One's lower than the other as well.
Uh-huh. That's an older game.
For gameplay, he said some FIFA or Madden crap. Jedi Fallen Order gameplay shown. I think that's a guarantee. Anthem DLC announced. I don't know about that. A new IP like Yarny, but not Yarny. For indie-like.
I love you, man. That's so good. That's just for you, Greg. Yarny.
A new map for Apex Legends. Possibly.
Set the bar low, man. Set that bar low.
Bethesda. Doom Eternal gameplay. Rage stuff, even though it's out already. And one new sequel or DLC. Again, he is going out on a limb on some of these. Nintendo, new Zelda or Mario teased. More Labo that nobody wants. Love that comment. Witcher 3 port announced. Wow, that would be something.
There's rumors.
Lots of indies. Sony, oh wait, they aren't attending because they are losers. And he wraps up. I'm sure I probably had more, but can't think. Now, can't wait to find out how wrong I am on some of them, but I'm optimistic, but a guy can dream. Anyway, thanks for listening to me ramble. Keep up the great show and talk to you soon. Peace and love. Gunslinger out.
Good luck.
Thank you, Tom.
And congratulations. Congratulations.
Yep, indeed.
That was sneaky.
Sneaky Tom snuck in getting married this past week, didn't tell anybody, and just came out with it saying, hey, by the way, I got married. It's like, holy crap. So congratulations to you.
Congratulations. I think your dancing bollocks are absolutely genius. And I hope your bollocks have been dancing well this week.
Yes. Yes, we do. All right, Pete, you want to run through your predictions there?
Yeah, I don't know whether some of them are just going to be complete shit, but there we go. I'm gonna go for it. It's not what you know. What it's something I've never really watched, to be honest. E3, I've just listened to the fallout from it.
You're so beautiful.
You're virgin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Okay. So I've said in my email that I'm not a Switch owner, but I've always been a Nintendo fan. I was massive on the NES, SNES, GameCube. So. I try and keep my ears close to the ground, and I really do want to get a Switch, but I do find it expensive for what it is. So I thought there would be an announcement of an actual date of a Switch Mini at a nice affordable price. I don't know. It was rumored in 2017, I think, when it or 2018, the Switch Mini. Well, mm-hmm. It'd be good to get a date on that now, and to have it at a. Well, I'd at least hope. 200 quid 180.
180!
Yeah. That's it's a British thing. Staying on the Switch then. I think it'd be good if Nintendo and Microsoft joined forces on stage and said that they'd announce Game Pass to appear on Switch and PC, which has already been stamped on with it being announced that it was going to go on PC. But I think it'd be good if it was on Switch as well, and they announced it that time without Sony being there. I think Switch needs shoot 'em ups, and I think it would have been good to announce a release of COD on the Switch. Again, with that latest announcements from Activision about Call of Duty appearing on PC and all the likes, they didn't mention Switch, and I don't think it's ever going to appear on there. But it'd be nice, I think, to have a nice little shoot 'em up on the Switch. Okay. And I heard something about a new Metal Gear Solid.
I like this. Yeah. Konami just doing it, just throwing it out there. Yeah.
It caused a stir, I think. A new Metal Gear Solid announcement. Halo's going to make a presence, I reckon. Halo Infinite, isn't it? But I don't think they'll go too much onto the gameplay. I think it'll go into the live action series that's coming out very shortly. Just to wet people's lips, I suppose. Can I say that? And I don't think they'll go on too much about the actual gameplay itself. But I think it would be good if they showed some Halo Infinite trailer towards the end with some appearance on a next gen console, and just to throw it out there as like a little surprise. Again, it's a complete prediction. It'll probably never ever happen. But I think it'd be good if they showed Halo and everybody's like, wow, 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 and then all of a sudden go, yeah, it's on, like, I don't know, Xbox, whatever it is, and like completely wow the crowd over. But yeah.
All right.
Like I said.
We're not judging, not yet. We'll judge after E3. Then we judge you.
And what else is there? But yeah, well, the thing is about next-gen console, it would be nice if they announced it there. I don't think they will without Sony being around, because, they're keeping their cards close to their chest and not being around in this next event. I think they'll probably do it around the same time. You know, the feels are going to be out there of when it's going to be dropped, and I'm sure they'll do it at the same time. But I think it would be good if they just dropped it out there early. Just be bold and get out there. Announce a discless console to put the cat amongst the pigeons and start to introduce the digital only market to gaming.
Pete, already done.
Well, yeah, with the S, you mean?
The what is it called? The wank? No, what's it called? It's called the SAD.
I get that. I think that was probably just. I think that's more of like an extra room type console. I'm talking about something that's going to perform even better than an X. It's all driven on performance, and it's really going to push it out there and drive that digital only, that digital only gaming.
Okay.
I get the old S thing. I get it, but it's just something that you'd put in the room just to give your kids a console that you ain't got to really worry about and breaking discs in the console and stuff. I think they're touched on it just to see. I don't know what the sales are, actually.
I don't think anybody does.
No.
They're not out there.
But I think if it went Pete Tong, they could release a USB version of a disc drive just to introduce discs to it. I think that'd be a clever idea as well, just in case that they did have to. They did have to backtrack and think, oh shit, this digital only thing really ain't working for our high performance console. Let's get a USB disk drive out there as well at the same time that we can pump some disk media if it does go tits up. But I don't know. Gears of War 5, I think, is a defo, and a date will be announced, I reckon. I'd really want this as well as a fan of Gears. I think it's about time we get a date for that. Could it be a time to reveal Avengers and a new Batman game?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is. One or the other. Bethesda, I'm not expecting too much on them, you know. It'd be nice to see some more on Starfield. I mean, it's going to be its new thing in 25 years. It's in space, isn't it? It's not something that they've really touched on before, apart from a Fallout 3 expansion pack, was it?
Yeah.
That was in space.
We think it's in space. All we've seen is like the star image in the background, so we don't really know.
No. Well, I'd hope to think it was. Knowing Bethesda, because they're really boring. My prediction is that they'll show maybe a little snippet of Starfield, and then they'll just go into, oh, we've got an expansion pack for Fallout 76, and it's going to be the fucking most revolutionary expansion pack that you've ever experienced, and it's going to be crap. But who knows? That's just me. There we go. I don't think I can go any more further than that. I think anything else is pretty much out of my head, but that's my prediction.
Excellent.
That work?
Good stuff.
Robin,
I'm going to go really quickly, okay, because I will be real quick. Fucking Splinter Cell. I want a new Splinter Cell. This is it. I talk about predictions for this, and I don't like doing predictions because I love it all. I want Phil Spencer to be up there and guess what his T-shirt's going to be. I love guessing what Phil Spencer's T-shirt is going to be. Is it going to be some old game? Is it going to be a hint, some other new game that's coming? I want that to happen. I want Splinter Cell. I want Michael flipping Ironside dragged out of his grave and to do the voice and have fun with that and to have that stealth game, as Sarah says in the chat, which is not open world. I hate open world everything, okay? Don't spread the chin. I like the chin closed, all right? I really want them to drop the Anaconda. I want them to get up there. They're doing all this stuff right now. I want them to go, Anaconda is coming. Here it is, and it's coming soon. I want them to get the jump properly. Not rushed this time, but properly. Where they rushed the Xbox One and went, this is how you share games on a PlayStation. This is it. All that. I want that gone. Okay? And I want to see a massive drop of the game studios that they bought last year. Of this is the sort of stuff that these guys are working on. I want to see that. I really do. And the Avengers thing is coming. I want them just to just splurge all this wonderful new information on me. And I don't want to predict it. I just want to sit there and be covered in E3. That's it. Anaconda is going to get dropped. That's the big one. And Splinter Cell. That's the second one. No one expected the second thing. Or the T-shirt. That's three things. No one expected the three things. Apart from the T-shirt, the Anaconda, and the Michael Ironside, and the Avengers. The four things. There's only four things that are dropping that I say. The four things. No one expected... E3, bring it on. New releases, Kim, let's go.
All right. Holy moly. I don't know if I can
30 seconds.
Live up
go.
To that. All right. The Elder Scrolls Online Elsewhere for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on June 4th. Persona Q2 New Cinema Labyrinth for the 3DS on the 4th. Trover Saves the Universe for PC also on the 4th. Warhammer Chaos Bane for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC also on the 4th. And those are your new releases.
Excellent. Trials Rising, right. We don't have the results this week, but I'm sure it's wonderful. And what track are we on, Greg?
We are on Happy Camper.
On what bike? So,
using the Rhino. So, well, you can use the Squid if you want as well, but the Rhino should give you an advantage to get a better time. So it's Happy Camper using either the Rhino or the Squid bike, and we will wrap those up next week. So you're going to have an extra week on this track.
So I can still beat Greggles.
Drop the photograph of your time on our Facebook page or tweet it off to @MarkAlex and he'll get you into our WhatsApp group. Good stuff. That's fantastic. Victory achieved. What it is when you finish a game, you take a photograph of yourself with the credits in the background. You tweet that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag Victory Achieved. And this contest will run until the end of June. Well, we'll pull someone out by random. Our last winner back in March was Sarah. She won £150,000 to spend on games. You may win the same. We pick a different number every time. And the people who completed games this week, Colin Allcars, he finished Anthem and he thought it was pretty good. Haters gonna hate. He loved it. John Mouse has been at it big style with all the old stuff. Medal of Honor Airborne. He finished Abzu. And he also finished Persona 4 on a thing called a Vita.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Caliburn AM finished Doom. Gunslinger Tom, he finished his wife and God of War. And Infected Psych finished Borderlands Game of the Year Edition, which he's been trying to do forever. And that's absolutely fantastic. All those people for finishing the games, remember, victory achieved. It's money for you. And for that, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Craig, take us home and you go home.
All right. You guys are awesome. Thank you for speeding things up because I do have a hard stop at 3 p.m. today. This is why we are running through this last part. Thank you for that, Robin. That was beautiful. Look, if you want to be part of the conversation, jump in and join us on twitch.tv/OC podcast, mixer.com or youtube.com. That's where you can find us, 9 p.m. in the U.K., 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island. And if you happen to live in Australia, good morning. It's 7 o'clock in your time when we start the show.
G'day, mate.
A.M. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. So get on there. Give us some love if you do happen to use those devices or those mediums for downloading podcasts. We would love a review. Even YouTube. Give us some stars. We've got clubs. If you want to be part of something, you want to find people to game with, jump in to the OC Podcast Club on Xbox One, the OC Podcast Community on PS4, and you can check out the OC Podcast Group on Steam. And for the love of God, if you're on Discord because you thought it was the future, we do have an OC Podcast server, which we never are on. I'm kidding. We are on it all the time.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
That's fantastic, Nicole. Thanks for that. @OC_podcast. Brilliant. Now it's the closing comments. Over to you, Greg.
I appreciate Pete being on. I appreciate Kim being on. I appreciate you, Robin, for everything you do. And I love our community. So game on. I'm going to pass it over to Pete.
Well, I'm just going to shout to everybody that's on the show. Thanks for letting me on again. That's pretty much it.
Pete,
thanks for the love.
You've been recruited. Yeah.
Shout out to you guys as always. A shout out to the people who came to play in the chat box today, and that's RCGC, Nerd Allegiance, Snoogans has been there, Fraser Moo, Commander Root, you know, Scott Stubby's there, VNK, Virgo Pros, blah blah blah. You know, most of these other guys are bots probably. Mr. Reflector. So yeah, thanks for stopping by and chatting with us today.
Alright. And Rob. Ooh.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you very much. This is going to be a hack job because we dropped Skype. We had no voice at the beginning of it. It's going to be a hack job this week. So if you were listening to it live, you had the best experience. So please come listen to us live. Join in the chat. Thank you very much for listening. Pete, it's wonderful to have you on.
Indeed.
It's very important that you can take a bit of ribbon, and we definitely give you a bit of ribbon. That's a bit of fun. And Greg DeLisi, you look like a right twat. So, see you all next week. Greg, you've got to go in less than 2 minutes. So, thanks for listening, everybody. See you soon. But goodbye. And Greg.
Hi.
Are we going? Are we done?
Sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Outro.
Okay.
Listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Fucking Windows 98.
All right. See you later. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
That was good.
Wow. Speed round.
Let's talk about some thick people.
Yeah.